Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Is everybody doing good? Cool. Yeah, night of worship, it's coming, and I hope that you will be there. It's going to be so good. We've been getting together the last couple of weeks and putting some stuff together. Our goal this year is that we would have a worship night every month. It's going to be good. And it's something that we're very excited for. And even if you want to just join us and pray the whole time, if you're going through something and you need God to answer, we would love for you to be there. You don't even have to sing. But it is going to be something that is very different, like Ali said, and it's going to be so good. So just invite you out there. Any of you online, please join us if you would. We are trying to make some moves behind the scenes so that we can eventually create an online version of worship, because we have had a couple of people in different states that are like, hey, well, obviously we can't be there, so if you could. And so God is doing something, especially through our worship, and God is continuing to move throughout this church. So please join us on this Sunday, 6 p.m. out there in Station 316. My name's Tom. Hello. I'm the Northwest Campus pastor, and I am privileged tonight to continue our Bible study through 1 John. We're going to be in chapter 4 this evening. Pastor Jim was with us last week. And the week before that, Pastor Al was in 1 John chapter 4. And tonight, it's going to be a little bit different. It's very heavy on my heart. It's not necessarily a heavy topic, but as I'm, you know, talking to the Lord about this and preparing for this and praying over this and really trying to make sure that it's not necessarily me speaking, but just being a vessel, like we all should be, you know, doing the best of our ability. It's just something that I think I see the end, but now we just have to get there, right? And so we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles with you, please open them or turn those Bibles on, and we are going to start. I want to recap real quickly from where Pastor Al was, and I'm just going to read straight through it so we have a context for what we are reading here this evening, because sometimes you can read, we'll just start out in a verse, and if you haven't joined us and we're starting out and it's literally my first verse tonight is, by this we know. Well, if you don't know what this is, then how are we even having this conversation tonight? So starting in verse 7 from 1 John chapter 4, yes, it's on the screen. Thank you guys back there. It says, beloved, let's love one another. Let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love God does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. That was last week, or 2 weeks ago, the teaching that Pastor Al was coming out of. Now here we go for tonight. It says, by this, the this that they're talking about is the love. Love, because God is love. If you say that you know God, then you're going to love. No ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to love. And so by this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And that is where we are going to stop for this evening. It's very interesting, this word love. I don't know what your definition of love is. If you've been attending this church for any length of time, Pastor Ron or some of the other pastors around here, you have heard them define the different styles of love. There's a love that you have for a sibling or a family member. There's a love that you have for a friend. And there's a love that you have with somebody that's more intimate. So I don't know what your definition of love is, because there's sometimes that I really love a certain style of food, or I love a TV show. But that's not necessarily a kind of love that is worth anything. What does it look like to truly love? Because there is a very important detail. There are two very important details. The one is love. What does love look like? And I want to just encourage you tonight to look at yourselves and ask yourselves, what does it look like? Let's pretend you're all at home online. You're doing great. Let's pretend you're at home. What does it look like to love your next door neighbor? Okay, cool. Cool. Now you got the concept. Have you done that? Do you consistently do that? Or is it, this literally happened to me today, and I'm a little bit embarrassed to share it, but I went to go outside to go to my truck, and as I did, you know, my door is, there's windows in the door, so I could see, and as I go to my truck, I can see that my neighbor just got home, and I stood at the door, and I go, I'm waiting. Isn't that the worst? So then what ended up happening, I said, just suck it up, be a man, go to your truck. You might have a conversation, you might not have a conversation, because I really do pride myself on, I really try to know my neighbors. I really try to love my neighbors, be there for them, encourage them, pray for them, take the time out of my day to talk to them. And there still is that flesh side of us, where you go to walk outside to look at something at your car real quickly and you see your neighbor and you're like, I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to. I want to do what I need to do and I want to. But what God is saying through John here is you're going to be able to tell if God abides in you because of the way that you love one another. How do you love your neighbor? How do you love the people that are sitting next to you? Now, I do also want to clarify, you know, because maybe your idea of love is the love that you have for a spouse or somebody that you're dating, somebody that you're intimate with. And you're like, I'm supposed to do that to that guy? No, obviously not. But what does it look like for us to love the people that we attend church with? It could be as simple as keeping the door open for them while they come in. It could be as simple as just noticing that their family's pouring into the seats next to you and your family's kind of just like sprawled out or whatever. And it's like, hey, let's tighten it up. Let's get closer so that they can fit their group of people in here. It could be as simple as when worship is going on and if life is going great for you, you begin to pray for that person in front of you or that person next to you. It could be so simple for us to love one another, to set them as more important than ourselves. But I need God to talk to me about this thing. Don't you know in Scripture, it says that God already knows the desires of our heart. He already knows our needs and our wants. He's God. But what's being displayed here is love the people around you and you will see God move and abide and be with you in your life. And I wanted to, you know, we're trying to stay consistent with you know, not necessarily titling these anything outside of what we're going through. So it kind of helps with like our online people. But I was wanting to, title tonight, Abide. The word abide means persevere, to lean into, to stay with, to not give up on, to just go another day doing, to just go another hour trying. And I look at this and I see that as he's saying, abide, 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 because then when you do this, then God abides in you. And when you do this, then you abide in God and you keep going. And I want to address a handful of things because I know that sometimes, you know, maybe you had a great week of loving people around you. But then you're on week two. And maybe at that point you're not receiving the love that you've been pouring out. So it's really easy to quit. It is so easy to give up on loving people when it's not being reciprocated back to you. But that's where John comes in. He says, no, 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 don't give up. Keep going, keep loving, keep enduring. And I know that sometimes, you know, as you go into your job, whatever your place of employment is, as you go into your job and you're trying to be the light of the world, right? You're trying to be kind. You're trying to encourage. But man, this one employee still hasn't changed. This one particular boss that you're dealing with, they're still treating you like they were treating you the week ago when you started doing this. Keep going. Persevere. Abide. Because I think sometimes we get this idea that, you know, we tithe one time and therefore God's going to, you know, add six figures in our bank account. And if we pray for the right person to become our spouse, you're literally going to walk outside of the church. They're going to, you know, fender bender you. And there they are. And you're like, oh my gosh, what a cute way to meet. That's how you think it's supposed to happen. But that's not necessarily how it happens. It's going to take some time for us to, you know, endure and persevere and say, God, continue to show me where to go. God, you, like Pastor Ron has said it, and I remember adopting it as I was dating, and he said, if he was a single person, he would ask God, what kind of hairstyle should he have? And then, like, what kind of cologne should he have? And you begin to think about these things. Okay, God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I'm trying to accomplish this part of my life. How do you want me to do it? And that's what abiding looks like. Because when the time comes that it gets difficult for us to continue, we need to have that abiding relationship with God to say, okay, here's the deal, God. I'm interested in this person. We've gone on a few dates. We will see what happens. If it doesn't work out with this person though, Lord, nothing changes between you and I. God, this is the job that I want and everything's looking good. And I've been applying and applying and applying and applying, and this job is exactly what I want. However, if I don't get this perfect job, nothing changes between you and I. That is what abiding looks like. And you know what's crazy is I'm a father of two kids. And you know, we will go to the park and we'll go to like different places for like the kids to play. You walk inside and you happily pay X amount of dollars for your kids to be exhausted by the time you're done. And we will do all that stuff, and then we'll still get home, and my daughter's like, can we do something fun? I'm bored. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You know, you'll give them sweets, And then as soon as they're done with it, can I have more? Can I have more? Can we do this thing? Can we do that fun thing? My daughter, I don't know where she got it from. I'm not too sure. Maybe my wife, but I'm really not too sure. Certain things skip generations, and I think she got it from my mother-in-law. But my daughter is so organized. When she was little, before she would go to bed, the way that she would word it when trying to find out what we were doing tomorrow is she would say, "Where am I going when I sleep?" And it was not asking, like, what dreamland am I going to? No, she was saying, what are we doing tomorrow? So now that she's old enough to articulate the sentence better, she still asks, what are we doing tomorrow? Where do I go after school today? Where is it that we're going this weekend? Are we going out of town? Are we staying in town? I'm like, you're 5 years old. Go with the flow. I'll get you a planner. Like, chill out. And nothing ever seems to satisfy. Seems to satisfy. But it's those moments where we do the spontaneous, you know, go to frozen yogurt. It's the moments where we surprise them with, hey, we're going to the park or we're going to go see your cousin. It's those moments when you don't know that it's coming that makes those days or that part of your life that much better. But we think that all we have to do, we pray for it, we should get it. But there is a lot of abiding that needs to happen in between that prayer and the fulfillment of that prayer. Because like my kids, I mean, can you imagine, honestly? All right, kids, I'm going to spend all my money for you to play. I'm going to buy you toys. I'm going to buy you this. We're going to go here. We're going to drive there. There would be no money for food. There would be no money for the bills to be paid. So many more things would begin to take place, but not just that. Would they ever be satisfied? Would any of it actually be like, you know what, Dad? You did it. I'm done asking for things. No, it would constantly grow and constantly change and adapt and just take on whatever was cooler in that moment. You and I are just still the same way. You know, you have some conversations with people like, oh man, I really wish that it would rain. And then it rains and you got some people, I really wish it didn't rain. And then you got some people, I wish it was winter. Oh, I wish it was summer. Oh, I wish I had this. I wish I went there. And God's like, dude, I'm supposed to keep up with all of you. All of you. And then we feel that God's doing us an injustice. I mean, because let's think about this. I know the analogy is a little bit funny and a little bit goofy, but what kind of parent would I be if I truly fed my kids the food that they wanted? The craziest thing about kids, you guys ever see like those little like jelly, like gummy, like little cheeseburgers, those little, like they're individual, whatever. My kids have never had those. Chill out. So I give them healthy things. Eat this, this is healthy. They look at it and they're like, you've never had it. Eat it, try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. I'm telling you right now, if they were on stage and I brought them that little cheeseburger, they would eat it no problem. There's something about knowing what's a sin and you still want it. There's something, I've never seen this cheeseburger thing in my life. None of it makes sense. It's too small. It's not warm. It's clearly not cheese, but I want to eat it because I have a feeling that it's going to be a candy and I want it. And that's what we think that we should be living like when it comes with God, that every single prayer should be answered and we don't have to work for anything. And so then we begin to have people who then live in such a way that they are mad at God because God didn't give them everything that they wanted, or that God made them have to work a little bit to get the thing that they so much desired. I remember when God opened my eyes, I truly believe that God told me, Tom, you can have anything that you want, but pray about it for an extended period of time. You know what happened literally like 9 times out of 10 is I forgot that I wanted it. I would pray and it was super important. I just had to have this thing, or I just had to go to this place, or I had to have, or I had to do, or I had to go. And I'm telling you, those prayers didn't even last like 3 days. And I wonder if that happens with us. Are you that kind of person? You know, if you are single and you're looking for a spouse and you start defining what they look like to God because you think that's what you want and all these different things, and then, okay, God wants to give you that. Sure. Pray about it for like a month. And don't skip it, not even one time. See what happens. I wonder if your heart would change. The more that you leaned into the Lord about this. Because one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to have a heart change, and God is going to bring you someone that you never even could have imagined that's going to be better. Or bonus, you get exactly what you prayed for, which is also a good deal. Because you could be praying for a house, you could be praying for a job, you could be praying for a set of finances to come through so you could pay certain things off. You could be praying these things, but I truly believe God sits back and goes, let's do this together. I don't want you to just, I'm not an ATM. I'm not a restaurant that you just get to place the order, and if it doesn't come out in 10 seconds, then you get angry and don't come back and get on Yelp and write a bad review. God wants to walk through life with us. He wants to enjoy life with us. And I read this and I see that God is ultimately trying to communicate with us. I love and hate having kids all at the same time. But I do not hate having kids for what might seem like the typical reason. I love on another level. That's just, I can't contain it. You know, like I'll start messing with my kids. I could spend all day with my kids. I could spend all week, all month. I could never leave the house. I love my kids. And that's a terrible thing because life does go on and I need to make time for my wife and blah, 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 all that other stuff. And I know that what we're talking about here tonight is a tall order. This idea of loving the people that you are around. Because if we begin to compartmentalize and we say, okay, who are the easy people to love? We eventually have to get to those difficult people. And how do we love them? And how do we care for them? Because we are supposed to. And not like a polite version of love. We're supposed to love them the way Jesus did. How did Jesus treat Judas, knowing that he was going to betray him, knowing that he was the one? I mean, Jesus was still fully human. So to know, like, oh, Judas, it's going to be Judas. Ah, okay, I really like that guy. All right, Lord, cool. It's going to be Judas. Because then we see in one of the Gospels, he looks at Judas and he goes, do what you have to do and do it quickly. He didn't say like, oh boy, you are going to hell. He doesn't do that. You know, like, wait till I see you after all this. You know, like, there's going to come a time. But he never did that. He loved him. He cared for him. It was actually Judas that took his own life. Judas couldn't live with what he did. It wasn't that God came down and you know, took his revenge on him. So how do we love the people around us? How do you react when you're in a hurry, but you decided to go to the grocery store real quickly before getting home, and the line is long? Or not even that. That's not the worst thing. A line being long, you're like, yeah, okay, there's six people in line. I'm talking about the lady who took 20 items in a 15-item lane. The rule breaker. How do you love them? How do you treat them? They turn back and they look at you. I'm so sorry. And you're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. How do you respond to those kinds of people? The people that cut you off. The people who treat you wrong. How do you treat those people? It's not easy to do. It is a very interesting request made from God. But I found something in Scripture. In looking this up, John was supposedly the youngest disciple that Jesus had, believed to have been 13 or 16, between that age range. When he writes this, he's around 60 to 70 years old. I did the math today. No one has a definitive of the date that Jesus began to teach. Some say 1 AD, some say 4 AD. And then if he lived 33 years, you know, 3 years with the disciples, that brings John to like about 19. But then this was written about 90 AD. So it puts John, give or take, like late 60s, early 70s. If this guy was with Jesus since he was, let's say, at most 16 years old, he's had years to practice this. He is late 60s, early 70s, writing this to the church to encourage us. He's not 18, 19, 20, 21, saying, "You guys, I did it. I know how to abide." He's late 60s, early 70s, saying, "I am an old man. I know how to do this now. And if you want a life worth living, you abide. You persevere in your love for one another. You persevere for your love for God. You don't shy away from the opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. You don't shy away from proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God, not a Son of God, not a prophet, not a angel, nothing. He is the Son of God. He is the only way to heaven. He is our Messiah. He is our Christ. He is our Savior. And if the world doesn't already dictate to us now that the end is coming, when the Bible told us clearly thousands of years ago there will be an end, and we watch humanity try to prolong that to the best of their ability, we should be able to rest in the knowledge of our Savior. We should be able to give people the good news, that we should be able to encourage one another, and it should come with the way that we love the people around us, our employees, our family members, the difficult ones. Because ultimately, God was, through Jesus, through the disciples, through what we're doing here tonight, building up the church, building up people. He's in the process of continually building. If you are not involved in any sort of ministry here at this church, please get involved. Join a ministry, a prayer team, a parking lot, a youth ministry, people who pray throughout the week. Do something. Take it upon yourself to pray for this place. Because God is moving through this, but we cannot do it without you. We cannot do it without you. And so there are three areas that I want to look at tonight. And then we'll wrap this up. They're going to go very quickly. There are three areas. The first one is the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, it says that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. If you could keep that up, please, just for a little bit. There is power when we worship together. If you're online, that's great. It's fine. But there's power when we come together and we worship. And it's so important, because not only just that, but in a room this size, and I don't know, I mean, I see faces, but I don't know anybody's career or anything like that. But imagine the resources that get pulled together when a church like this would look around and say, "Let's help this city." There are people here that attend this church that have resources that the person sitting next to them do not have. But the person with the resources don't always know the needs. And so if we were to come together as a church, I don't know how many churches are in Bakersfield, there's a lot, but imagine if the church as a whole would use the resources to change the city, to make it better, to take care of the homeless, to take care of the orphans and the widows, which is what is said to be the perfect religion in the book of James. Because we see that it's not about just getting together and feeling good that we got together, but it's about the power that happens when God builds us. And that's why he wants us to be holy. That's why he wants us to be blameless. As a church, to be holy and blameless, to do the best that we can. We are gonna mess up. We are. We're gonna get blasted on the news. We're gonna get blasted on social media. That's, who cares? We're not building our fame anyways. It is what it is. But God is in the process of building the church. The second thing that God is in the process of is building up people. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to be in verse 1. It says, first of all, then, I urge that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made in behalf of all, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You don't like anybody in leadership. You don't like your boss. You don't like our governing officials. You don't like, pray for them. Pray for them. Stop complaining. Stop tweeting. Pray for them. Get a prayer group together. There are some crazy things trying to get put into our schools. Pray. Stop it. Fight spiritually. And on top of that, we are seeing that God wants all people to know him. God is not exclusive. This is not a country club. He wants all people to come to the knowledge of him. He is in the process of trying to show up for people through you and I. He wants that. He wants to use our quirks, our weirdness, our coolness, whatever category you categorize yourself in. He wants to move through you and I. And the last thing that God is in the process of building is you. It's you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says, you are Christ's body. You are. If we can just sit in that for a second, that you are. I don't know what you think about church, but you are Christ's body. So where you go, you represent Christ. The one who the entire world anxiously longs for. And here we are. And I think sometimes we wait for the perfect opportunity. You know, it's funny how we set up church services because we want our hearts to be ready when we go ready to hear the message. So there's music and low lighting, and then it's loud music and lighting and lyrics on the screen in case you don't know it. And then our hearts are made ready to hear the message, and hopefully then we begin to process it and then we leave. So then what happens when you're not here? How do you worship God when you're not here? How do you spend intimate time with God when you're not here? Because God is still about building you. He still wants to live life with you. Yes, there's the grand picture of the church. The grand picture of, for God so loved the world, right?
He loved the world.
So that's why he gave Jesus. But yes, it's also still you. And he wants to walk you through bad relationships. He wants to walk you through how you're affected by the negativity of the world. He wants to walk you through your misunderstandings of church or religion or Christ or him. He wants to walk you through anything that you have gone through that has hurt you. But he also wants to celebrate with you. He wants to be right there with you at your kids' birthday parties. He wants to be right there with you when you hit retirement and it's a big old retirement party. He wants to be there with you when you take on a dream that he has placed within you to help the world be a better place. He wants to strongly support those whose hearts are completely his, the Bible tells us. So what do you do when you're not here? How do you react to him? And I want to do something. If you guys would entertain this idea, if I could ask you just to close your eyes. Nobody's coming around. Don't worry, there's not going to be. I'm not going to disappear and be off the stage. But there's a song that I'd like for us to sing together. Sing with me. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. And worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, because you are holy, holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, because you are holy, holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. One more time. You are holy. Holy. Are you, Lord God Almighty? And worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. One more time. Because you are holy. Come on, church, sing it. Holy are you, Lord God Almighty. just feels good to sing as a church sometimes. Without the production. Because sometimes those words are just like, oh, my heart's been wanting to say that so long, God. Because you are, you're holy. And sometimes my heart just needs to be reminded of that. That you would be so good and so loving, perfect, and still want me. And then from here, from this place, as a son or a daughter, loved by the King, how would we then go and love the people around us? Because ultimately, when we start from what we just did, and we go, oh, that's right, that's right. You are worthy. God Almighty, yes, that's right, that's right, that's right. Your son, Jesus, okay, yeah. My problems aren't so big anymore. And that's how we love. Not the perfect setting, not the perfect timing, not the right key, not the perfect singer, not the any of this. But we just be reminded as a church, yes, God is good and he loves us and he's for us. And that's how we would love people. So let's pray and we'll end tonight. Father God in heaven, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the example of love for us. And in Jesus' name, I ask that you would guide us and strengthen us as we do what you are asking us to do. As we go where you are asking us to go. Holy Spirit, move throughout this room. And if there's anybody here in this place that you don't know God like what we are talking about here tonight, and you would like to, it's as simple as making the decision to follow Jesus Christ, to ask for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of you, change you, to make you more like Christ. If there's anybody in this place that is a decision that you would like to make tonight, to become a son or a daughter of God, to leave with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, I just ask you to raise your hand. If there's anybody in this place, raise your hand high. So what will happen is I want to pray with everybody here. If you guys would, collectively, together, let's pray with these people that are raising their hands. Just repeat this after me. Say, Father God, I believe in your son, Jesus, that he died for my sins and rose from the grave. And one day he will be here again. Holy Spirit, come and live inside of me. Make me a new person. And seal me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we clap it up? There was a couple people who made that decision. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. We love you guys. We'll see you next Wednesday. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Love.